This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. 60 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Lots of sunshine today. High today in the low 80s, about 82 or 83. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low around 60. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance, just about a 20% chance of a shower in the afternoon. And the high tomorrow, about 85. Tomorrow night, low 65, still a slight chance of rain. And then on Sunday, more of the same, partly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. It is creeping up just a little bit as far as the temperatures are concerned, and it'll remain that way the end of the weekend and the beginning of next week as well. His name is Hobbs Johnson. He combined last night with reliever Chris McHugh on a five-hitter to help the Tar Heels stay alive at the College World Series with a 7-0 shutout of a rival North Carolina State. Johnson set a career high. He pitched 8 1/3 innings. He threw 132 pitches. Most of them were fastballs.
For pretty much the whole postseason and the Virginia series, I've been throwing for the most part almost all fastballs, and it's worked outside of one game against South Carolina, and we've just kind of been sticking with it. And today I had better command than I had against South Carolina and FAU, so it just helped me get ahead of them and kind of get some defensive swings.
Excellent performance from Hobbs Johnson on the mound last night. Carolina led at the plate by Colin Moran, ACC Player of the Year. He had his second consecutive three-hit game. He had two RBIs. Michael Russell added three more to help the Tar Heels in their domination at the plate. Again, it was 7-0 Carolina over North Carolina State last night. The Tar Heels are now 59-11 in the season and will stay alive. North Carolina State will come home. What a series it's been. They've had to play them twice in the College World Series in Omaha, and they played each other a total of five times now, with Carolina winning three and North Carolina State winning two. But Carolina is alive and will next face UCLA tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Tar Heels will have to beat the Bruins twice in order to advance to the College World Series Finals. You can hear it tonight on 97.9 FM, WCHL, and also streaming live at chapelbrew.com. All the details on last night's game coming up for you in just a few minutes on WCHL Championship Sports. Parents, students, and concerned community members are calling on the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system to change discipline and suspension policies that they say unfairly target African-American and Latino students. School board got together last night. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details on what happened.
Karen Reed is a retired teacher from the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system. She was one of 20 speakers last night who asked the school board to reassess discipline policies, specifically to look at how school resource officers handle incidents with students.
They need training on child development. They're doing their job. They're arresting our children, and our children are having to pay for it. And it's just not a good start for them in their lives. This school system is better than that.
Reed and others argue that school resource officers, or SROs, are too often called upon to handle minor incidents in schools, resulting in the criminalization of nonviolent behavior. James Williams is a public defender in Orange and Chatham counties. He said the discipline and suspension policies are unfairly applied to minority students, setting many on a pathway to failure.
Discipline inequity is a denial of equal education opportunity for children of color. And when you look at the data, it's clear that there are significant racial disparities in how school discipline issues are handled in the Chapel Hill Carborough school system. It doesn't have to be that way.
According to data collected by school officials, Black and Latino students each make up about 12% of the student body, but account for a majority of in-school suspensions. Here's Dr. Rodney Trice.
40% of all students who received in-school suspension in our district were African American students, 21% Latino students, and 31% white students.
School board members, including James Barrett, acknowledge that racial disparity in discipline is a long-standing problem, one the board is committed to addressing.
We like to think of ourselves as a very enlightened community, but this is an area that we have struggled with for a long time, and it's an area that we're obviously not proud of, but does exist. Having this conversation shows that we're not sweeping under the rug, and we're committed to making a difference here.
School officials said one solution may be to clarify the roles and responsibilities of the SROs, to track which cases are referred to the criminal justice system. Greg McElbean said officers are called in to handle situations that would be better managed by administrators.
When you talk about recommending partnership between the police and the courts and the schools, that partnership will include some very specific restrictions on what SROs can do.
Both Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue and newly appointed Carrboro Police Chief Walter Horton were on hand to listen to the discussion. Neither commented to the board. Other solutions include additional training for teachers and SROs, publishing data on suspensions on a quarterly basis, and assigning school work groups to review student discipline outcomes. No decisions were made at last night's meeting, but administrators will begin reviewing discipline and suspension protocols throughout the district. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The University of North Carolina's accreditation agency will not sanction the university for their irregularities involving the Department of African and Afro-American Studies. That's according to a statement sent out by Chancellor Holden Thorpe. With the decision, UNC remains fully accredited and in good standing with the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges. The notification was part of a biannual review of the accreditation status of degree-granting higher education institutions in an 11-state region. Carolina was advised by the SACSCOC, quoting here, to take immediate steps, unquote, in January to comply with standards on academic policies, academic support services, and student records. Chancellor Thorpe said in a university-wide email yesterday that they are very pleased with the decision. Throughout the process, the university has been treated fairly by SACSCOC. The UNC has provided information, responded to all questions, taken necessary actions, and documented the comprehensive reforms that they put in place over the past 2 years because of issues related to the unprofessional and unethical actions of two former department employees. All of that paraphrasing what Chancellor Thorpe said in yesterday's statement. Sadness on the UNC campus. UNC healthcare system is mourning the loss of two respected and cherished doctors this week. Dr. Keith Amos, assistant professor of surgery and surgical oncologist, died unexpectedly while traveling as a visiting scholar in Scotland. Dr. Amos was only 42 years old. Dr. George Sheldon, who chaired the UNC Department of Surgery from 1984 through 2001, died due to illness at UNC hospitals on Sunday. He was 78 years old. Dr. Amos is survived by his wife and their three young daughters. Dr. Bill Roper, Dean of the School of Medicine, Vice Chancellor for Medical Affairs, and Chief Executive Officer of the UNC healthcare system, said this in his blog regarding the loss of his two colleagues. Quoting here, George and Keith were very different people in many ways. They were at very different places in their careers, one near the end of his, the other in the most productive period of his. But they both were passionate surgeons, catered to serving others. We will miss them very, very much. Dr. Sheldon was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award by the American College of Surgeons in 2012. Dr. Amos was recruited by the university back in 2007. During his all-too-brief career here in Chapel Hill, he focused on the UNC Breast Center. And it's been said that he made quite a difference and was making some real strides. A very popular member of the UNC medical faculty. Three-year-old Grayson Clamp heard sound for the first time in his life 3 weeks ago. Thanks to a team of talented UNC doctors, Grayson's miraculous story now is being reported worldwide with CNN, The Today Show, and The Daily Mail in the United Kingdom sharing the story. WCHL's Rachel Nash spoke with the doctor who headed up this life-changing surgery.
Many years ago, it became apparent to us that this particular device might be helpful for kids with this particular problem. And so it's been sort of a culmination of a lot of years of working towards trying to be able to do this for this limited number of children that are candidates.
That's Dr. Craig Buckman. He led the team of doctors at UNC in the procedure. He was in the room when Grayson heard for the first time. Grayson was born without a cochlear nerve, which transmits sound information from the cochlea to the brain. After Lynn and Nicole Clamp adopted Grayson, they began working with UNC doctors to help him hear. Doctors first tried a cochlear implant, but because he was born without the cochlear nerve, it was ineffective as there was nothing to stimulate. The family then decided to move forward with the auditory brain stem implant, which had been used for adults but hadn't been tested by the Food and Drug Administration for use in children.
I mean, we're ecstatic that he's doing well and that the parents are happy and that he's responding to sound, and we just couldn't feel better about the whole thing.
The procedure requires doctors to implant a microchip into a patient's brain. The microchip then helps the patient to recognize and process sound by electrically stimulating the brainstem.
And so the frequencies are allocated, as you say, to the individual electrodes, and then the brain is sort of left to sort out those details.
The next step for Grayson will be to begin to recognize and understand speech. He'll continue to work with UNC hospitals for hearing and speech therapy. To see the video of when Grayson hears for the first time, you can read the article on our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time, 8:17, 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. And time again for WCHL's Traffic and Weather Together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Stop in for a quick lunch today, and you can select from 8 juicy smoked meats and some great fresh sides as well. Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham off Mount Moriah Road. In fact, right between Chapel Hill and Durham. And now, with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. A couple slowdowns to let you know about right now. I-40 westbound between 15501 and NC86, seeing some delays this morning. Mostly because of that merger down to two lanes, I'm sure. 15501 southbound between Raleigh Road, that's NC54, and Manning Drive, seeing a delay as well. Otherwise, things moving fairly smoothly out on the roadways right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Well, that's a pretty good report. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for keeping an eye on all that stuff.
You betcha.
It is 8:18, 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. Moving right along with your Chapel Hill cover of weather presented by Southern Season. Visit Southern Season today for 15 to 75% off store-wide during their great summer sale going on now through the 4th of July. And when they end the sale, they will have their first ever red, white, and blue party at University Mall in Chapel Hill, or go online at southernseason.com. It is, let's see here, 60 degrees in Chapel Hill. Temperatures keeps fluctuating a little bit. Sunny skies, high today in the low 80s. Nice day on the way. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 60. Tomorrow, partly sunny with isolated showers in the afternoon. High in the middle 80s. Chance of rain just 20%. Tomorrow night, more of the same with a low of 65. Then on Sunday, partly sunny with just a slight chance of showers and or thunderstorms in the afternoon hours, high in the upper 80s. Sunday night, more of the same kind of weather, low in the upper 60s. And then on the high on Monday, again, kind of warm and a little bit muggy with a high in the upper 80s. So warmer toward the end of the weekend.
Wake up every morning with one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, Ron Stutz in the Morning News. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning. It is 8:20, 20 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. Championship sports on the way. We'll tell you about the Tar Heel baseball team's win last night. Five people got arrested on Tuesday for an attempted burglary into a home on Umstead Drive in Chapel Hill, resulting in an assault on two residents of the home. According to Sergeant Josh Meesemore of the Chapel Hill Police Department, the two residents, one male and one female, were reportedly in their apartment when the five suspects forced their way in and attacked them on Monday night.
It's like the female was hit with some type of metal rod, then the male was hit, it looks like, with just personal weapons, fists.
Sergeant Meesemore says both sustained injuries, the female's being more severe, but neither required hospitalization.
EMS responded, but did not transport either of the victims to the ER. So they were treated on scene and stayed there.
The five suspects, Bradley McDowell, Kathy McDowell, Antoinette Satterwhite, Catherine Williams, and Whitney Williams, were all arrested and then released on a written promise to appear in court. They're facing charges of first-degree burglary, a felony, and assault with a deadly weapon, a misdemeanor. Satterwhite is also charged with inflicting serious injury, another misdemeanor. The Orange County landfill is closing at the end of the month, and while Carborough does not yet have a plan in place for what it will do with its solid waste, the town's Board of Aldermen came together last night to agree on what they would not do, and that's create a solid waste authority. In early June, the Carborough Board of Aldermen met and most expressed a desire to create a disposal facility or transfer station, but not an authority. David Andrews, Carborough's town manager, explained that Carborough would not be able to regulate and manage an authority like they could a town utility.
An authority would have its own separate board. It'd be a separate agency.
Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton says he feels creating an authority is a way for municipal officials to avoid taking a stand on how to clean up waste in the town.
I have a problem with the notion of assuming that that's going to be some kind of solution, that somehow we won't have to have any intestinal fortitude on the part of the elected officials if we just create an authority. That's not correct.
Like the Orange Water and Sewer Authority, or otherwise known as OWASA, any authority approved by Carborough and others would still have some of the surrounding town's input in its decision-making, according to Andrews.
Presumably, if it worked like OWASA, each of the municipalities could appoint a certain number of members to the authority's board.
As far as Mayor Chilton sees it, the local governments have not had a good record when it comes to managing and disposing of solid waste.
As long as the local governments have the zoning power, then it's really going to be ultimately up to the local governments to go along with or trip up any solid waste management proposal that comes along. And so far, last 22 years that I've been paying attention, every time it's been trip it up.
The mayor adds that if the town of Carborough ultimately wanted a solid waste authority, he would have no problem with creating one. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Well, big win last night for the Carolina baseball team. UNC's Hobbs Johnson was on the mound. He combined with reliever Chris McHugh in a five-hitter last night, helping the Tar Heels stay alive in the College World Series with a 7-0 shutout over rival North Carolina State. Johnson set a career high. He pitched 8 1/3 innings, hoping for a complete game. Couldn't quite make it, but he threw 132 pitches. Most of those were fastballs.
For pretty much the whole postseason and the Virginia series, I've been throwing for the most part almost all fastballs, and it's worked outside of one game against South Carolina, and we've just kind of been sticking with it. And today I had better command than I had against South Carolina and FAU, so it just helped me get ahead of them and kind of get some defensive swings.
UNC's left-hander really outperformed the Wolfpack's Carlos Rodon, who had all the publicity going in. He took to the mound with only 3 days' rest after getting the win over the Tar Heels on Sunday. Rodon was pulled in the fifth inning after allowing two UNC runs. Carolina head coach Mike Fox says he wasn't surprised at all that Rodon started for the Wolfpack. He probably would have done the same thing.
It's hard when you're in an elimination game to not put that boy out there. I mean, I get the rest and all that. He only threw 108 pitches, and he's strong as a bull. And I know it was a tough decision for him and his staff, but you don't want any regrets leaving here. And I think they probably would have had some if they hadn't have pitched him.
ACC Player of the Year Colin Moran led the Carolina attack with his second consecutive three-hit game. Moran had a couple of RBIs as well, and Michael Russell added three RBIs to help the Tar Heels in their dominant offensive performance. Moran led off the top of the fourth with a single. He was advanced to second on a throwing error by Rodon, attempting to get the force out, and a bunt from Brian Holberton. Here's Holberton on facing Rodon for the fifth time this season.
Kind of going into it, wanting to make him throw a lot of pitches just because we knew he'd pitched a few days ago and had a high pitch count. And I think landing to bat in the first inning was set the tone, and that did a good job for the rest of us to have a good idea of what to do when we went up there.
Cody Stubbs had an excellent at-bat, fighting off several pitches from Rodon, eventually getting a walk. On a Michael Russell flyout to left field, Holberton scored the first run of the game from third base by avoiding the tag out at home plate. Just an outstanding throw to the plate by the Wolfpack right fielder. North Carolina State head coach Elliot Avent was threatened with ejection after arguing the call.
The 1-1 hit into the outfield. Fincher, the right fielder, has to backtrack. He'll catch and throw with Holberton coming towards the plate. It's a close call, and he's safe. Austin throws the mask down, Rodon throws his glove down, and Elliot Avent runs out of the dugout to contest the call with Joe Burleson.
Quite a play and a lot of excitement, certainly an emotional moment, and it shows how important each run would be in this game. But the replay clearly showed that the call was correct. Parks Jordan was hit by a pitch to lead off the fifth inning for Carolina. Chaz Frank led down a sacrifice bunt that advanced Jordan to second. Landon Lassiter moved Jordan over to third on a ground out to second. Colin Moran then brought Jordan home on a line drive single.
And nobody in Carolina history has been more prolific in driving and runs in a single season than Moran, who has 89 ribbies. And now make it 90. A laser into center field. Scores Parks Jordan. And the Tar Heels have just doubled their lead. It's 2-0.
In the eighth inning, North Carolina State reliever Brad Stone was brought on for Rodon. Stone walked Moran and Stubbs and then threw a wild pitch, hitting Sky Bolt on a 3-2 count to load the bases for Carolina. Michael Russell came up with a big single to center with two outs and two strikes. It scored Stubbs and Moran. Zolk then drove in Russell and Bolt on a line drive double to right field.
Hot shot down the right field line off the bat of Zolt. And the Tar Heels, they're coming around to score some more runs. Bolt makes it 5-0. Russell's in, 6-0.
Carolina scored one more run in the ninth inning and a Moran single to left center that brought in Jordan.
Here comes the 3-1. Well, he swings a mean bat as well. A crisp single into left center field. Scores Jordan a wide turnaround first base for Moran. It's 7-0 Carolina.
McHugh came on at the bottom of the inning to relieve Johnson and seal the win for Carolina, getting the final two outs. With that win, UNC takes the rubber mats 3-2 over North Carolina State. Wolfpack finished now for the season after an outstanding year, 50-16. Carolina is now 59-11. Carolina will next face UCLA. They have to have a quick turnaround. They'll play tonight at 8 o'clock. Tar Heels will have to beat the Bruins twice in order to advance to the College World Series Finals. You can hear tonight's game right here on 97.9 FM WCHL and streaming online at chapelboro.com. And also a lot of people watching the NBA Championship Series last night. Danny Green with the San Antonio Spurs did not have a good night. They really clamped down on him. LeBron James had 37 points and 12 rebounds. Miami Heat repeated as champions with a 95-88 victory over the San Antonio Spurs in Game 7 of the NBA Finals in Miami. Of course, that game was a lot closer than the final score would indicate. San Antonio lost for the first time in five appearances in the NBA Finals. An exciting finals it was. And congratulations to Miami Heat. And if you're a big LeBron James fan and a Miami Heat fan, congratulations to you. It is 8:28, 28 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
There was supposed to be a big unbeatable lefty on the mound Thursday night, and there sure was. This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. When you look back on UNC's ultimate game of gotcha against NC State last night, the stunning shutout can be traced to the previous games for both teams. Of course, the Tar Heels had to beat a very good LSU club to keep playing, and the Wolfpack fell into peril by failing to defeat UCLA and dropping into the loser's bracket. In the Russian roulette College World Series, positioning is everything. So the rematch with State came a day earlier than it might have been, and that gave the advantage to Mike Fox's gutty crew in the localized elimination game on the biggest stage in college baseball. Whoever lost was going home feeling mighty low despite a great season up to that point. Clearly the place to be is the winner's bracket, or there is a hellacious hill to climb in this format. Carolina had a fresh, if flu-ridden horse to ride in Rocky Mount Jr. Hobbs Johnson, and State had no choice but to come back with its southpaw ace Carlos Rodon on 3 days' rest. Johnson battled strep throat and the tough State lineup to throw a career gem in his longest college stint with more than 120 pitches before coming out in the ninth of the 7-0 victory. Both brilliant and bullying, his sweeping motion and popping fastball were too much for the State hitters to see and to soak as the Heels inched out and then blew out the pack, making last Sunday's party in Hillsborough Street a distant memory. Gotcha! Getting the lead in this game was key because Rodon was his old self for the first few innings, striking out four of the first five Tar Heels he faced and finishing with six Ks before he exited, clearly spent. Brian Holberton's super slick slide-away tag at home plate provided the first run. Colin Moran's RBI single made it 2-0, and then the Heels blew an open in the eighth. By then, most of the 25,000 who had come to watch in person were long gone into the Omaha night. As satisfying and avenging was this victory, there is still much work to do by the top-seeded team in college baseball. Cinderella UCLA, one of the underdogs in the final eight, now has to be beaten twice on consecutive nights in order for the Tar Heels to make the championship best-of-three series. It can happen if Kent Emanuel finds his stuff, and so far Carolina has survived four NCAA elimination games. We can thank Hobbs, the horse, who outdueled Rodon the Great, to take his place in Tar Heel baseball history. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Well, as Art just told you, Carolina still alive in the College World Series. Game time tonight on WCHL. You can hear the game on WCHL and streaming live on our website. 8 o'clock, Tar Heels will be taking on UCLA. And the bad thing is Carolina has to beat UCLA twice to move on. North Carolina State season is over, and what an outstanding year for them. It's 8:32 at WCHL, 28 minutes until 9 o'clock. We have 61 degrees. We look for a high today in the low 80s. Lots of sunshine today. Really nice weather. Parents, students, and concerned community members are calling on the Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board to change discipline and suspension policies that they say unfairly target African-American and Latino students. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Karen Reed is a retired teacher from the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System. She was one of 20 speakers last night who asked the school board to reassess discipline policies, specifically to look at how school resource officers handle incidents with students.
They need training on child development. They're doing their job. They're arresting our children, and our children are having to pay for it. And it's just not a good start for them in their lives. This school system is better than that.
Reed and others argue that school resource officers, or SROs, are too often called upon to handle minor incidents in schools, resulting in the criminalization of nonviolent behavior. James Williams is a public defender in Orange and Chatham counties. He said the discipline and suspension policies are unfairly applied to minority students, setting many on a pathway to failure.
Discipline inequity is a denial of equal education opportunity for children of color. And when you look at the data, it's clear that there are significant racial disparities in how school discipline issues are handled in the Chapel Hill Carborough school system. It doesn't have to be that way.
According to data collected by school officials, Black and Latino students each make up about 12% of the student body, but account for a majority of in-school suspensions. Here's Dr. Rodney Trice.
40% of all students who received in-school suspension in our district were African-American students, 21% Latino students, and 31% white students.
School board members, including James Barrett, acknowledge that racial disparity in discipline is a long-standing problem, one the board is committed to addressing.
We like to think of ourselves as a very enlightened community, but this is an area that we have struggled with for a long time, and it's an area that we're obviously not proud of, but does exist. Having this conversation shows that we're not sweeping it under the rug, and we're committed to making a difference here.
School officials said one solution may be to clarify the roles and responsibilities of the SROs, to track which cases are referred to the criminal justice system. Greg McElveen said officers are called in to handle situations that would be better managed by administrators.
When you talk about a recommending partnership between the police and the courts and the schools, that partnership will include some very specific restrictions on what SROs can do.
Both Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue and newly appointed Carborough Police Chief Walter Horton were on hand to listen to the discussion. Neither commented to the board. Other solutions include additional training for teachers and SROs, publishing data on suspensions on a quarterly basis, and assigning school work groups to review student discipline outcomes. No decisions were made at last night's meeting, but administrators will begin reviewing discipline and suspension protocols throughout the district. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The North Carolina gas tax is increasing from 37.5 cents per gallon to 37.6 cents per gallon. It might not sound like much of a difference, but the Department of Revenue says a new rate for the motor fuels tax on gasoline, diesel, and alternative fuels begins July 1st and will last through the calendar year. The tax is computed using a flat rate of 17.5 cents per gallon and a variable of the average wholesale price of motor fuel during the last 6 months. The average wholesale price is a weighted average of the wholesale price of gasoline and number two diesel fuel. The average price for the last period was 2.8743 cents per gallon. New rate will go into effect in January of 2014. Consumers at retail locations pay the tax. The money then goes to the department. There will be a pop quiz at the end of the show on this story. As a matter of fact, Davis Whitfield is going to tell you exactly what it means right now. Davis, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ron. Thanks for having me.
You're not falling for that, are you?
No, sir.
Davis Whitfield is the executive director of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, and he joins us now. And you visited with us a while back and talked about the 100-year anniversary of the association. You guys are well into all of that now, and are you having fun so far?
Having a great time, Ron. This is a wonderful year for the association as we do celebrate our 100th year of of athletics in high school in the state of North Carolina, and athletics is strong in North Carolina right now, and we're excited about that. There are more and more young people participating. There are new programs that are growing, and we're excited about that.
One of the things that always amazes me is there are a lot of people who live right here in town who don't even know that you guys are there. They're out near Findlay Golf Course and have been since the beginning of time, it seems. And tell everybody what the North Carolina High School Athletic Association does.
Well, Ron, we govern high school athletics for the state of North Carolina, for all of our public schools, non-boarding parochial schools, charter schools. And we have about 400 members of our association, and we provide leadership and governance for those schools. We provide structure. We provide championship opportunities. We have a strong student services program where we teach leadership, integrity, those values that we feel like education-based athletics provides for our young people in North Carolina. And quite frankly, we feel like we are a strong part of the educational system in North Carolina.
That's a pretty strong challenge dealing with so many schools. What do you got, 400 schools?
400 high schools.
That's amazing. Now, how would you describe the state of high school athletics in general in our state right now?
Ron, as I mentioned, it's extremely strong, and certainly we've had some adjustments to make over the last 5 or 6 years, certainly with everything, with the economy, and certainly there are more options out there for young people to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
High school athletics, along with some of the travel teams and other avenues, are available, and certainly young people have to make choices. But I think you have something special with high school athletics because you not only represent your high school but your community and your families, and in a way that brings your community together. So high school athletics is extremely strong. We certainly have some challenges that we have faced and will continue to face, but as a NCHSAA family, we'll tackle those head on.
Challenges with the budget, of course. I know that that's really difficult. What about some coming changes for the next academic year, 2013-2014? Tell us about some changes and some things that you're working on right now.
Well, we've got a lot of work ahead of us, Ron. We just completed the first year of our strategic plan, so we'll move into the second year of that. And certainly with that, that lays out a plan and a map for us to pursue over the next 3 to 5 years, and we've made great strides. We're investing in communicating with our schools more effectively through technology, through our website, and through other means that we feel will be more beneficial for our schools. We're trying to provide professional development opportunities. I think in any workplace, professional development is always a desire of employees.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly for our coaches, they're not our employees, certainly, but as they deal with our young people and our athletic directors as well, trying to provide some professional opportunities, professional development opportunities for those professionals, and we're excited about that. You mentioned budget. We're always trying to look at finances and find ways to provide schools with additional revenue streams. For the last three years, we have provided schools with a small amount of revenue for all 400 high schools, and I think they've been appreciative of that because of the athletic budget that has been affected by the economy and some other things. So we've got some building renovation plans in the future. We've got some other policies and procedures that are changing simply because of our diverse membership, as I mentioned, with not only just our public schools, but certainly with our non-boarding parochial schools, our charter schools, and even regional schools. It's a new era in education, and we're having to adjust just like the entire state is.
Now, you used to be an assistant commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Now that you're out of that job, I guess I was going to ask you if you could pull openly for Carolina now, but I guess you were pulling for both teams last night in the College World Series, weren't you? Because
well,
you're dealing with both.
I was, Ron. I was pulling for both in that series. However, being an alumni of the Carolina Blue, I was hoping that they would pull it out. However, NC State is a very strong program, and Elliott Avent does a wonderful job there at NC State, and they will definitely be back.
Yeah, a lot of respect between those two programs, too, I think. One more thing we've talked about before when you were here, the 100th anniversary and the commemorative book that you put together. I know that we have been giving some away here on the air. It's terrific. I've had fun just leafing through it. How can folks get that if they're interested?
It is a wonderful piece, Ron, and I would certainly urge anyone who has participated in high school athletics, who has had a coach that was special to them while they were involved in high school athletics, to pick one of these books up. They're only $20, and they can simply call our office, give us their address, and we'll mail them one. Our office number is 919-240-7401.
That's a really good bargain, $20 for that coffee table book. I mean, it's something it's a keepsake.
Well, as you've seen, Ron, it's well laid out, it's well done. It talks about our history over the last 100 years, and even just the pictures involved in that book are worth the price. And certainly, we're not trying to make money on this. We simply want individuals and families and those who have participated in our programs to look at that history and really understand the impact that high school athletics has across the state.
Certainly, we have a rich history of high school athletics in North Carolina. There's no question about that. And many of those people go on to star at our local universities and pro leagues and everything else. And the thing is, the great majority of even college stars don't move on to play professionally. And what they do at the high school level is so important. We've talked about this before. I mean, it's not just about learning how to win. It's not just about improving yourself as an athlete. Sports just teaches so much more than just that.
Ron, you hit that on the head. We have a strong program as it relates to teaching the values of leadership, integrity, sportsmanship, how you treat others and how you treat your teammates is a big part of what we do in terms of education of our student athletes. And our coaches do a wonderful job, and our schools do a tremendous job with that. But the leadership, teamwork aspects that you learn in high school athletics, you do carry those into your professional life. And when you look at some of the CEOs that we have of some of our major companies, you notice that they are strong participants in athletics and have been for many years.
Yeah. Listen, thanks for coming in this morning. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
You as well, Ron. Have a great day.
And again, happy 100th anniversary.
Thank you very much.
It is 8:44 at WCHL, 16 minutes until 9 o'clock. Who are all these people getting arrested in Raleigh at the protest on Moral Mondays? Raleigh Mann talks about that on today's commentary, and that is up next.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle at the Carolina Inn inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge and no reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInn.com.
No suitcase required. Best Tile is here to make your dream design project a reality with their unsurpassed global selection of tiles. And you only have to travel down the road. The team at Best Tile has sourced the globe so they can bring you the imported selections that you love close to home. Best Tile is located right in your neighborhood between Chapel Hill and Durham at the corner of 1501 and Garrett Road, just off I-40. So stop by and visit their extraordinary showroom and all that the world has to offer without ever leaving the triangle. Best Tile, local store, global selection. Begin your quest at besttile.com.
Time for a quiz. What Chapel Hill Group is investing in our local environment by buying carbon offsets, planting new trees, and ensuring toxic elements don't get into our water supply? And what Chapel Hill Group generously donates to hundreds of local social causes every day of every week of every year? The answer? Chapel Hill's business community. Surprised? You shouldn't be. Local business owners understand that commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals community. Commerce Plus in Chapel Hill. Find out more at opentobusiness.biz. At Five Guys, they're in the business to sell quality burgers. Period. Nothing beats Five Guys' hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings. Burgers not your thing? Enjoy Five Guys' grilled kosher beef hot dogs topped off with all the same great toppings. And who can resist Five Guys' fresh-cut Idaho fries cooked in trans-fat and cholesterol-free peanut oil? Stop by the new location at Meadowmont Village to see what all the buzz is about.
Summer is here, and FastMed Urgent Care wants you to enjoy fun in the sun and have a safe summer. Now through June 30th, FastMed is offering sports physicals for only $10. Walk in and get your school participation physical for only $10 at FastMed Urgent Care, located at the corner of East Franklin Street and Estes Drive. From swimmer's ear to sunburn, allergies to insect bites, FastMed Urgent Care in Chapel Hill has you covered 365 days a year. FastMed Urgent Care. Visit FastMed.com.
We're going to go ahead and get a look at traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. You just heard about them. And listen, if burgers are not your thing, enjoy Five Guys grilled kosher beef hot dogs, dressed with any or all of 15 free toppings. Five Guys in Metamont Village. Well, it's been a pretty good morning as far as traffic is concerned, as Rand told you a few minutes ago. We've had some slowdowns, as usual, but in general, traffic a little lighter on Friday morning than it is all the other days of the week, Monday through Thursday. So things okay. If you experience any major delays or spot any accidents out there, anything out of the ordinary, call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363, and let us know. We'll pass along the word. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, brought to you this morning by your friends at Southern Rail, serving lunch and dinner daily and brunch on the weekends with free parking on either side of the railroad tracks. Southern Rail is in the heart of downtown Carborough. All right, 62 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Lots of sunshine, hot today in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low down around 60. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies. Isolated showers possible in the afternoon. Only a 20% chance of rain with a high of 85. Then tomorrow night, low 65. Sunday, still slight chance of rain, but still pretty good day. Partly sunny with a 20% chance of precipitation and the high in the upper 80s. So a little warmer toward the end of the weekend. 8:48. 12 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. Why would people willingly get themselves arrested, handcuffed, detained for hours? Some of Chapel Hill's most respected residents are doing that every Monday. They enter the legislative building in Raleigh and begin singing, peacefully protesting what they see as an immoral and racist agenda being enacted by our state lawmakers. They're protesting the denial of Medicaid coverage to thousands of North Carolinians, the lowering of taxes for a few while raising them for thousands, the imposing of barriers of voting, efforts to defund public schools, the relaxing of rules that protect the environment and public health, and the list goes on. These Chapel Hill protesters have lots of company from all over the state, and each week their number grows. Who are they? Religious leaders, educators, physicians, attorneys, grandparents, ordinary folks like you and me. Some courageously step forward and permit themselves to be arrested. Many others stand behind them as supporters. They do it because this legislative agenda is both unjust and immoral. It seems racist, aimed at poor people, children, and the elderly, one of them told me. She's a grandmother, a retired educator and public health administrator who was awarded the coveted Order of the Longleaf Pine, the highest civilian honor awarded by the state of North Carolina. She was arrested and detained until 2:30 in the morning, and she faces a court hearing in July. She's doing this because what the legislator is doing is immoral and wrong, she said. I'm not going to let them do this in the dark, she said. Exactly. This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. What you're saying on the street. Presented by ISIS IT. What you're saying on the street.
I'm Michael Papich. The State Court of Appeals recently upheld Chapel Hill's restrictions on towing. We hit the streets to find out what you think about towing.
Barbara Milliken. I work in Chapel Hill. Well, I think that if the signage is proper and people are parked where they shouldn't be, then they have to have that expectation that they'll get towed, especially if they're interfering with business.
Corey Kirkland in Chapel Hill. I think they tow way too much. Can't park anywhere for 5 minutes or else you're gone, which I think is kind of stupid.
Karen Parrish, Graham.
Well, if they're parked where they shouldn't be, I agree they should be towed. Or in a handicap. But if they're parked for a long period of time, then they shouldn't be towed. Because half the time you don't know where your car is. Or if it's been towed, so you got to come out and you got to figure out where it's at. And it's a big pain in the butt.
Leanne Barber, and I live just outside of Chapel Hill. I think it's awful. It's unfriendly to, you know, people who come to shop.
How do you feel about towing in the Chapel Hill Carborough area?
Ronnie Graham, Chapel Hill. They need to have more parking. They need to leave cars alone. I don't come downtown Chapel Hill. I could probably walk quicker from my house 2 miles away than to find a good spot.
I'm Karen Cranfield, and I live in Calvander. I have an experience of almost being towed and pleading for them not to do it while I'm standing there. I actually wrote a letter to the town, Chapel Hill, and the town responded and reconciled it, which I was really happy that the town did that.
Victoria Coleman, and I live in Bahama. I have a friend that's been towed, and I've gotten a couple tickets in a matter of just minutes of parking.
That's what you're saying on the street. A 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
Good morning. It's 8:52, 8 minutes away from 9 o'clock at WCHL. This is Ron Stutz.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
What is the biggest recent news on the Orange County literary front? Well, maybe it's the Broadway musical based on Chapel Hill's Daniel Wallace's Big Fish novel, or from Hillsborough, Jill McCorkle's great new novel, Life After Life, or upcoming new books from Lee Smith and Alan Gerganus. Or maybe it's still the amazing success of the first novel of another Hillsborough resident. Anna Jean Mayhew's novel, The Dry Grass of August, came out about 2 years ago, and it's still selling well and still garnering critical praise. The Dry Grass of August takes us all the way back to the racially segregated Charlotte of 1954 and the poignant story of a young girl in a family under stress, being pulled apart by forces the girl does not understand. It's a story, in Lee Smith's words, that is written with unusual charm, wonderful dialogue, and a deeply felt sense of time and place. This story begins in the Myers Park neighborhood, where Mayhew actually grew up, and set in the context of the Supreme Court's Brown versus Board of Education decision that theoretically put an end to legal segregation in the public schools. And at this time, it stirred up a hornet's nest of racist reactions throughout the white community there in the 1950s Charlotte. But meanwhile, 13-year-old Juby Watts is deeply attached to Mary Luther, who is Juby's family's African-American servant. And young Juby bristles at the indignities that Mary Luther suffers, ill treatment from Juby's parents and guests. She's always having to ride in the back seat of the car, not being allowed to eat and sleep in the same facilities as the family on trips. And meanwhile, Juby's dad is actually active in a white business organization that uses its employment power to take jobs away from blacks who try to vote or otherwise challenge the white-dominated system. Again, Juby adores Mary Luther, and that affection is returned in his loving discipline and support that Juby craves and certainly needs. With very little positive attention from her troubled mother and father, Juby really does need all the help she can get, and there is Mary Luther to help. Well, along with Mayhew's look back at the racial and cultural society in transition, she also delivers a coming-of-age novel that touches her readers' hearts, and then, at the end of the book, she serves up a tragic moment that will give those same hearts a hurt that will be long remembered. To celebrate Anna Jean Mayhew's success, WCHL is re-airing my conversation with her over the weekend, and UNC-TV is broadcasting her BookWatch interview at noon on Sunday and again at 5 p.m. on Thursday. And like her other fans still celebrating this great success, I'm anxiously awaiting her next book. This is D.G. Martin.
You all right, D.G.? Okay. 8:55 at WCHL, 5 minutes until 9 o'clock. And you remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond last hour? Tell me what the word is, spell it correctly, and give me the right definition. I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Your number to call right now, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
He's a professor of English and director of the Creative Writing Program at the College of Arts and Sciences.
Carolina, and Michael McPhee is today's WCHL hometown hero.
William James once wrote in a letter to a friend that the basic human need is the need to be appreciated. Isn't that true? Just to have someone say to you, thank you for what you do, or I like what you do. So I feel like this is what your series does, and good for you.
McPhee is an accomplished poet. He's also a great mentor to colleagues and especially to his students.
Well, it's directly linked to being a writer and a teacher of young writers, because the way that writers have learned and grown through the millennia is absolutely through mentoring. Younger writers studying with older, more experienced writers who try to share with them advice about how to make their writing stronger, about how to live the writer's life, about what to do with their work once they've finished it. And of course, we get such wonderful undergraduate poets and fiction writers and nonfiction writers here at UNC.
McPhee has received a lot of honors over the years. He says he's surrounded by a lot of bright young minds here in the southern part of heaven.
Young people who want to be writers often migrate to Chapel Hill. You know, there wasn't an accident that Thomas Wolfe came here. So I feel like I get the cream of the crop. What I love about UNC's student writers, and I've taught at other colleges like Cornell and Lawrence and, you know, good students, but UNC students have great imaginations. They are really hard workers. They are so willing to revise and improve their poems, and they're really good-spirited.
Professor McPhee enjoys waking up and going to work.
And I feel so lucky to be doing this and not, you know, any of the million other jobs any of us could have had. I feel like I've totally fallen into the happy valley. But again, it's just the kind of, especially by the time they get to the upper levels of creative writing here, their talent, experience, their willingness to work is just so refreshing. And we've always emphasized, Ron, at UNC Chapel Hill, the undergraduate experience.
Like so many of us who live here, McPhee came to Chapel Hill and just never left.
And I went here as an undergraduate, so I sort of came and never left. I think they'll be carrying me out of here one day when I leave.
But what do you like to do when you're not at work?
Well, I like to write. It's sort of hard to do during the semester when you're teaching or directing the creative writing program or doing things that a professor does. But, you know, the beauty of being a teacher is that you have at least part of every summer off. So that's when I work on my own poems.
Oh, that's your creative time.
It is a creative time, and I just feel so lucky to have it because, you know, how many American men or women have that luxury? To me, it's a real luxury, and I try to respect that and take advantage of it.
Michael McPhee, professor of English and director of the Creative Writing Program at the College of Arts and Sciences at Carolina. Today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Thanks for the phone calls this morning. Congratulations, John Coffey of Chapel Hill called in with the word of the day. Susurrus, S-U-S-U-R-R-U-S, Susurrus, it means a whispering or rustling sound. John Coffey gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
Today is your last chance at a great offer at OurLocalDeal.com from Tallulah's Turkish Restaurant. It's half off, dinner or lunch, available until midnight. Come visit Tallulah's, a local, family-owned restaurant on Franklin Street, and take a culinary journey with fresh, healthy food. Tallulah's has become a favorite dining and late-night destination among locals and visiting foodies with its unique Turkish cuisine. It's half off from Tallulah's Turkish Restaurant. It's available until midnight, so get it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
Gotta go. See you on the radio.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Chapel Hill Economic Development. Open for business, to business. Find out more on the...